Great to see you guys tonight. It's good to see the house full. I cannot wait for this month's message series. It's called The Secret of Giving. Somebody say The Secret of Giving. We have always presented Christ and Christ alone every single year at Christmas. Do not get freaked out because you see a Santa Claus. I'm just going to put the disclaimer on it now. I promise you we will present Christ and Christ alone. However, Paul was wise enough in the New Testament to use any tool he could as a vehicle to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to the masses. I'm going to talk to you about the real man, Saint Nicholas, and about how we are still talking about this man today. Other than Jesus Christ, no other human being to ever walk the face of the earth is more celebrated and honored than that man. Now, that's a caricature that took on a life of its own in the late 1800s. But the real man, Nicholas of Myra, was a phenomenal man of God who even raised the dead. He was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. He was a defender of the faith. And I'm going to talk to you about those principles this month. And I promise you, you're going to be moved. I'm also going to challenge you in areas of generosity in your life in different ways, that we ought to be a people who stretch ourselves often and as far as we can to show the world through gifts how much Jesus Christ loves them and that they have a Father in heaven. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? So if you have a friend or someone you've just been thinking about inviting, please invite them to come. And we're going to have a live Santa Claus here on the 18th. And so I promise you now, parents, if you do Santa Claus in your home with your kids, I'm not going to ruin it. Some Christian parents say, well, what do we tell our kids? Well, how about we tell them the truth? And I don't mean the truth as you think I'm saying now. Let's tell them about the real man, the real Santa Claus or Center Claus or Père Noël or Saint Nicholas of Myra and how he lived his life as a reflection of Jesus Christ. All right, tonight I want to talk about washing away worry. And if you would go to in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 25. I want to share with you something that will, for many of you, be a new principle to understand when it comes to God's word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Apostle Paul writing, he says this, husbands, love your wives. How many of your husbands tonight? Love your wife. If she's sitting beside you, tell her tonight, I love you. He says, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands ought to lay down their lives for the wives. Verse 26, that he might sanctify, that is set apart for a purpose, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. With the washing of water by the word. That he might set her apart for a purpose and cleanse her with the washing of water by the what? What does the Bible say that we would be washed clean and sanctified by? The Word of God, verse 27. That he or Jesus might present her, that's the church, that's you and me, to himself, a glorious church. Somebody say glorious church. Now, that's a radiant church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I thank God tonight that that's the way Jesus sees his church. Amen? That's why it's important that we be washed in the water of his word. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let me just say something to husbands right there. The Bible says that Jesus washes his church, his bride, in his words. We ought to be quick to wash our brides in our words. And I mean words that give them life. Can you say amen tonight? So the principle I want to show you here is that when we are washed, all of us, male or female, married or not, when we are washed in the word, it sanctifies us, which means to set apart for a purpose, and it cleanses us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it just feels like you're carrying the dirt of the world on you. You know what I'm talking about? You just feel dirty. Well, you need a word bath. And the word washes things out of our life. The word cleanses us. The word purifies us. The word makes us before God without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we would be holy and without blemish. That's amazing. Not a single blemish on us. And so tonight I want us to take a word bath, and I want to help you wash away your worry. Literally, imagine yourself when you've been dirty, if you've been out working in a yard or cutting down a tree or working on a car or whatever it might have been, cooking in the kitchen, and you're covered in grease and grime and whatever it is you're covered in, and you go get a bath or you go get a shower and you feel that warm water and it feels so good and it just washes all that off your body. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever done that, just say amen. Okay? I want you to imagine tonight we're in one big, beautiful bathtub. All together. Come on, community bathing with your clothes on. Don't nobody get weird about it. The word has the power to do it with your clothes on. That's good. And tonight we're going to take a bath and just wash the worry out of our lives. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that revelation knowledge flow freely. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you for each and every one of us. I pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word, that we would rise up and conquer worry as your word washes it out of our lives. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus acknowledges the dangers and distractions of worry in our lives. He gives it a considerable amount of attention. And it says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life." Jesus is looking you in the eye tonight and he says, do not worry about your life. How many of you have been worried about life? Okay, so he's talking to us all. He says, do not worry about your life. Now, how many of you believe we serve a fair God? Amen. Right? So if he asks us to do something, Paul, that he hasn't given us the ability to do, or if he asks us to do something that he hasn't given us an alternative for, is he fair? No. So then if he asks us to do something, you've got to know that he's given you the power to do it and he's given you an alternative to doing it. He says, do not worry about your life. Let's keep reading. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on, or about your mortgage, or how you're going to make your car payment, or what are you going to do to put the kids through college, or how are you going to pay your electric bill, or what's going on at work, or your midterm exams coming up, or whatever it might be. You fill in the blank. Your unsaved kids. Your crazy wife. I mean mother-in-law. I mean sister-in-law. We'll find you. Just give me a minute. We'll get there. Your crazy Facebook crew, right? Don't worry about any of that. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? There's more to life than what you're worrying about. There is more to your life than what you're worrying about. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor eat nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Pretty good thought. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, I'm 6'5", and I tried getting here by worrying. It didn't work very good. Worrying doesn't add any height to you. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Jesus says that faith and worry run counter in opposite directions. Okay? They don't run together. They run in different directions. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, he said it again, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now let me break that down a little bit. After all these things, those who don't have me in their life seek. So inversely, he's saying those who have me in their life don't worry about these things. There's something else they put first. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. The Bible says the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. The Bible is very clear that if you don't work, you should eat, regardless of what our nation does for people. Amen. Hard work is godly. Even before sin, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to work. Your purpose is connected to what you do. Your greatest testimony in life is your work, because you spend the majority of your life working, or you should. I meet people who are struggling with depression and don't have any direction in their life and don't have any purpose in their life, yet they don't have a reason for getting up and accomplishing anything every day. One of the greatest things you can do for your self-esteem is do something that you can look back after the day is over and say, I accomplished that today. Amen. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all the world who doesn't have me in their life seeks those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, do I have any daddies in the house tonight? Wave at me. Any fathers here tonight? Okay. Do you normally see your kids' needs before they see it? Yes? Right? You do, Randy. Even when they're grown up. But here's the deal. If you see that need, we start making a move towards provision, correct? Right? So that there's a way to meet that need. Can I tell you that in Christ Jesus at Calvary, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Our Father saw our need. He fulfilled it in Christ there at the cross of Calvary. And after the resurrection, every single promise of God became yes and amen. So God has already said yes to you. Your Father in heaven has already said yes to whatever it is you need. All you've got to do is go and ask the Father in the name of the Son, and he said he'd do it. He said, ask and you'd seek and you'll knock and it will be open to you. Now, notice what he says in verse 33. But, which is like a hinge. There's a pivot point there. Don't worry, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness means I'm in right standing with God. Righteousness is as righteousness does. Okay? So when I'm born again, I am made righteous. I will never be more righteous than I am at that moment. Whether you've been saved 5 seconds or 50 years, you will never be more righteous or in right standing with God than you are at that moment. However, that's positional. And what has to happen in our lives day by day as we walk with Jesus Christ is the righteousness that he has given us, Frank, has to show up in word, thought, and deed more and more every single day that goes by. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So there's a difference between positional righteousness and let's call it practical righteousness. We have to walk it out. In other words, we have to start showing people the Christ living inside of us. These are not things we're trying to do. This is just who we are. A dog doesn't bark to be a dog. He barks because he's a dog. Okay, so we act and live righteous because we're righteous. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, we have a kingdom assignment. And that assignment is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's not just my job. That's not just the leadership of Victory Church's job. That's not the church corporately's job only. That's your job. When you come in here, it's my job to be the greatest cheerleader of your life so that you can receive what you need to go back out of there shining a little bit brighter and be a little bit saltier than when you walked in and make a difference in the people's lives where you live, work, and play every single day. Okay? So if you come across somebody who has a need, your first thought should not be pick up the phone and call the church. Hey, Josh, I got somebody you need to meet. You need to help them. No, I'm here to help you. You need to help them. You're the answer to their prayer. Jesus put you inside their world because you are the answer. You got to stop limiting yourself and thinking, man, I can't do it. I can't pray for them. I can't talk to them. I can't give them the answer to the Bible they need. Well, why can't you? Maybe you don't know it at the moment. But why don't you tell them, hey, hold on just a minute. I'll get back with you on that one tomorrow. And I'm going to go home and seek it out and find what I can find in the Word. And I'll bring you an answer tomorrow. Amen? Man, Josh, I come across somebody, they have a financial need. Well, praise God, you go meet it. Well, we don't have enough money to meet it. Start believing God for more money then. This helping anybody? Okay. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You start doing that, you don't have time to worry. And all these things, he did not say spiritual stuff. He said all these things. What was he just talking about? He was talking about clothes on your back, and he was talking about food in your belly. He said all these things shall be added to you. Well, why will they be added to you? Very simply because you're out there doing the work of the kingdom. And when you put him first, he puts you first. That's what it means to make Jesus Lord of your life. He's first in everything. He's first in my time. He's first in my love. He's first in my priorities. He's first in my finances. He's first in my lips and the things that come out of my mouth. Everything I do declares that he is first in my life. And when you put him first, everything you need is going to flow towards you, and things will chase you instead of you chasing things. Why? Because you're using those things to reach your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you tonight are blessed? Why are you blessed? How many of you want more blessing in your life? How many of you want more blessing in your life? How many of you want more blessing in your life? Then what do you need to do to get it? Go and be a blessing. Does this make sense? You see how this is the removal of worry by displacement. It literally washes it out. It's gone. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. We serve a God of addition. Amen. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its trouble. Jesus says three things there, three reasons not to worry. Number one, life is about more than stuff. Number two, he already knows what you need. And number three, you have enough to do today. And the last point there that Jesus made, sufficient for the day. You've got enough going on today. What is he saying there? He's saying that if we live a life of worry, you will not be able to focus on what you need to focus on today. If you live in worry. If you're worried, it affects your job performance. If you're worried, it affects your home life. If you're worried, it affects your marriage. If you're worried, it affects your relationship with your children. If you're worried, it affects your worship when you walk into church. Am I telling the truth tonight? But he says, get your mind on what's in front of you today and throw everything you've got into that. Simple keys make big changes in our life. Worry hinders and limits your ability today because it creates a distraction and it fractures your focus. Secondly, tonight, and this is, I love this. We're going to wash away the worry. You've got to know that Jesus cares about you. Jesus cares about you. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Somebody say, Jesus cares. You know, it seems so simple, but it's something I think we forget. You hear people say, well, who cares? We could yell out right then, Jesus cares. Well, who cares about what's going on in the nation? Jesus cares. He cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting is the strong sense in the Greek of literally throwing like a pitcher in baseball would throw that baseball with tremendous force. It means to get it off of you forcefully and fast. Casting all your care. The Greek word for care is merimneo. It is the word for worry. It is the cares of this life. It is the anxiety that we carry. It refers to the same type of care that Jesus said has the power in the parable of the sower to choke the power of God's word out of your life. The incorruptible seed of God's word has the power to be limited by your worry. That's the kind of care he's talking about. Casting all your care upon who? Jesus. Now, he was built to carry it. You're not. This is 95% of what Americans go to the doctors for is called psychosomatic. It is stress, it is anxiety, it is worry-related and induced issues that are going on in our bodies because we're not healthy in our souls. Casting all your cares upon Him, He's able to carry it. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Well, He's omnipotent. All power is His. He's all powerful. You're not. So use Him. People say, well, He's too busy for me. But people tell me that. Well, He has bigger things to take care of. Can I tell you that God delights in every single detail of your life? There is nothing too big, nothing too small for us to go to Him about. You should never feel silly. I love it when my kids come talk to me about anything. Okay? He cares. Casting all your cares upon Him. I just want that to wash over you tonight. He cares for you. He cares for you. Would you close your eyes with me tonight and say, He cares for me. Let's say it again. He cares for me. Say, Jesus cares for me. I want you to think about what this word care means. It's different than where you see care just above it. The one above it means worry, but the one after it, where it says He cares, means to be interested in. It means to be concerned about. It means it matters. Somebody say it matters. It matters to Jesus. He's interested in what's troubling you. There's times when Anna doesn't act like herself. And me and Marcia can pick it out just from being around her, the amount of time we are. And we'll call her near to us and we'll say, what's going on? Is there something you need to tell Mommy? Is there something you need to tell Daddy? Sure enough, there's always something there. And once she does, she's okay. It's the same with our Father. There are times the Holy Spirit, when things are wrong in our life, will call us near to the Father. In the book of Psalms, David said, you said, seek my face, Lord. My heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. We feel that drawing of God's hand upon us. It also means, in that word cares, He cares for you. It means that what matters to you matters to Him. It means that what concerns you concerns Him. So let His care remove your care. Let His care for you remove the things that you are concerned about. Make sense? Okay? Now, worry won't go away by itself. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, have anxiety for no reason. You say, Josh, that is absolutely impossible. Well, yeah, it would be, except with God, nothing is impossible. Be anxious for nothing. You mean not even about my marriage that's struggling? No. You mean not even about our finances that aren't doing good? No. You mean not even about your job that's looking shaky and they're talking about closing the plant or laying off 500 people? No. Not even about my health or the report from the doctor? No. Not even about my lost kids? No. Doesn't make us apathetic. Doesn't mean we don't pray about these things. It means you cannot worry about them. Worry comes from the need to control things. It comes from a fear that it's beyond our reach and there's nothing we can do about it. You need to stop getting upset when you feel that way and thank God that when you get down to nothing, that's when He can be up to something. Get out of the way for Him to start working. Well, aren't I an irresponsible parent if I don't worry about my kids? No. You're a man and woman of God. You're a man and woman of faith. You put them in God's hands like Moses' mama did in the Nile when she sent him out in the bulrushes full of crocodiles and knew that he was in the hands of God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Post them on Facebook. Do an Instagram for your greatest needs. Tweet what you want. Huh? Get on the phone and call a friend. Phone a friend. Is that what it says? Who should your first phone call be? God. If you listened Sunday, you'd have said, Marcia. Didn't John do good? Man, that was a good sermon. That was a phenomenal sermon. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, it will literally wipe the worry out if we just take it to him in prayer and then leave it there. Take it to him in prayer and then leave it there. Take it to him in prayer and then leave it there. Take it to him in prayer and leave it there. Don't get up until you can leave it there. We used to call it praying through. We used the altar a lot when I was growing up. And you would go down loaded like you weighed 1,000 pounds. But you prayed through until that thing broke and you left lighter than a feather. And you went to the A&W and got you a fried chicken sandwich and a root beer and a frosty mug where they still brought it out and sat it on the window of the car. And if you're real good, you got some onion rings. Now that's having church right there. We need to pray in an A&W.
Or Stewart's.
Or Stewart's. I don't know about that. We didn't have them. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's go there. Ephesians 6, 10. It feels like we're in a battle whenever we're being stricken by anxiety and worry. There's a tug of war. There's a wrestling going on. And the Bible says when we get to that point, you just need to be still. You just need to stand. When you've done everything else we've already talked about and you still feel like you're struggling with it, you just need to stand. Somebody say stand. I have people I talk with frequently and they'll say, Josh, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. What else do I need to do? Say nothing. You just need to stand. And here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Watch in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Okay? Now, he's done saying that. And he finishes by saying this. And having done all, to stand. When you've done everything else you know to do, just be still. Salvation is on the way. Moses gets to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is closing in. God, what are we going to do now? What does God say? Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because sometimes it just takes a minute. And depending on how we respond determines how long that minute is. Now, I'm telling the truth. Because the Bible says to everything there's a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And so what we have to learn to do is find a way to rejoice and to celebrate in every season. And to respond according to God's word. And it makes that season of our life, it will close that gap. Just like Israel, they hot lapped a mountain for 40 years for a 13-day trip. 2-week vacation for 40 years. Hey, let's go around the mountain one more time. Like the hamsters on the wheel. Hey, guys, run a little faster. I think we're almost there. 40 years hot lap. Didn't learn their lesson. Did something stupid again. Murmur and complain against God. God says, okay, take another lap. It's like when I played football. You got in trouble? Take a lap. Right? God's working something out on the inside of us. Very important. And finally, Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. One of my absolute favorites. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Where does faith abide? Is it in your head? Is it in your head? Is faith in your head? Where is it? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that with the heart one believes, with the heart one believes. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Faith is very simply put, trusting in God. When you trust in God, that's faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own head. That's where we run into trouble. When we're worried about something, we're trying to figure it out in our own head, aren't we? We're trying to see it in our own mind, Jackie. We're trying to figure out a plan how it's going to work. That's okay to a degree, but you got to be balanced, because Jesus said count the cost. The Bible says the plans of the diligent lead to planning. There's a place for planning. However, there comes a point where after you've done all you can do, you got to put it in God's hands and you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You've got to stop trying to figure it out. I lived my life that way for years. I tried over and over to figure out my life, to figure out who I'd married, to figure out what it looked like. I was engaged to the wrong person. I went all through college for the wrong things, and it just didn't work out. I wasn't trusting in the Lord. But when we trust in Him, He has a way of guiding and directing our path. Wherever you're at today, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is you're worried about, whatever it is you're anxious about, can I tell you that God has already ordained your steps? The steps of a righteous man or woman of God are ordered by Him. He will direct you in the way in which you should go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, in everything you do, in every part of your life, I want you to acknowledge Him. Now, the word acknowledge literally means to know. We have kids' church tonight, so I can say it, to know the way a husband knows his wife, or to know the way a wife knows her husband, to know intimately, to know sexually, to know closer than anybody else can know them. Fair enough? That's how it means to know God, okay? It means to know Him very, very intimately, to know Him, not just know of Him, not just have an informational knowledge of Him, but to know Him. And here's how that happens, y'all. As we walk with Him and we see how He works things out in our life, then we get to know Him better and better. There's a knowing in the going. And I look back over my life and I think about, man, I never thought we'd get out of that situation. But sure enough, here's how God showed up and delivered us. There's a notch in the belt. And I think about, man, I remember that time when we were sick. Wade, I wasn't feeling good today. You talk about being washed in the water of the Word and purified by the Word. Wade wasn't feeling good at all today, could not figure out what was going on in his body, decided to read Psalm 91 because he knew there was power in the Word. And he let Psalm 91, which is a psalm of preservation and protection, wash over him. He felt the urge about 5 minutes later to go to the restroom, and something in him told him, take a strainer with you. He did, and out came a giant kidney stone. 5 minutes after he took a word bath. Can you give God glory tonight? This works. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, know Him intimately. Josh, how do I do that? I very simply do it by walking with Him. By walking with Him. By walking with Jesus. Life happens. Sometimes we get life under the microscope and we think, what do I do about this? And what do I do about that? And what color shirt does God want me to wear today? Look, He don't care about any of that. He created you in His likeness and in His image. He gave you the boundaries of His Word. Contrary to popular belief, people who believe in this book are not narrow-minded. Although they are firm in what they believe and they're willing to die for it, they're not narrow-minded. God has given us a great expanse to live our lives inside of. It's called the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom that is not the size of a postage stamp. It is a kingdom that cannot even be contained by the universe itself, Lee. He has given us an expansive, broad place for us to live. And He says, I want you to go live your life and I want you to enjoy it. And I want you to go be you. And live. And if you get out of line or something's not going quite right, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. He said, my sheep know my voice. You don't have to worry about missing God. He's going to say your name until you turn around and say, what, Jesus? Yeah. Sitting with Peter at the table, he said, hey, Peter. Peter didn't listen. He said, hey, Peter. Peter didn't listen. He said, hey, Peter. Yes, Lord. Some of us are a little harder of hearing than others. I'm one of them. But I thank God that he never stops talking. He never stops speaking into our lives. And so as you live your life, step away from the trees and look at the whole forest. Step back from whatever the thing is. You're worried about one thing. There's one thing that's normally just winding us up. We're wound up about one thing. I was all bent out of shape the other night, sitting on the couch about something. Then I thought, you know what? In the scheme of my life, what does this even matter? We're bent out of shape. We're worried. We're stressed. We're anxious about one or two things. Step back from that tree. Man, I'm telling you right now, Chris Boggs and Sarah Jennings did a phenomenal, she whitewashed them and Chris put them together. Didn't they do a good job on them trees? Great job, man. I appreciate that so much. Sometimes you got to step back from the tree, though, and enjoy the forest. Amen? Would y'all stand with me tonight? I want to do this. Before we go tonight, I want to sing a song with one of my new favorites, Good, Good Father. He is a good father. Man, is he good. And I just want you to just let that wash over you tonight as we sing it. Maybe you're not used to the church thing, or you don't really understand why we sing, and you say, I'm not a singer, I don't sound good. Well, here's the deal. I don't either, but I still do it. It's something that comes from the heart. Amen? Sing a love song to Jesus. It's something that comes from our heart. We're in love with him, he's in love with us, and we take the words, we take the lyrics of that song, and we turn it into a prayer. And as we sing each of those lines, then we mean them from our heart. And we sing each one of those lines just like we're saying it to him face to face. When I sing, I don't sing for anybody else. I sing, Trevor, for an audience of one. Everybody who stands on that platform sings for an audience of one. We're not performers. We're worshipers. Amen? Let's worship him tonight. Say, I am loved by my Father in heaven. His word says, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love. In other words, when we become mature in our understanding of the gospel, and we understand what Jesus did for us, it removes all fear from our life. His love washes that away. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, I want to ask this question. How many of you here tonight would say, Josh, that message was for me, and I'm struggling with fear or anxiety or worry in some area of my life? Just raise your hand tonight. Well, I preached the right message then. Would you lay your hands over your heart? Let me pray for you. Father, tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, forgive us for worry. You said don't do it. Lord, we don't want to. Tonight you've showed us how we can stop. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for a deep and for an incredible understanding of your love that would release us from fear, that would release us from worry, that would release us from anxiety, and that we would know that because we are loved, whatever it is troubling us is on your radar. And tonight we release it to you. We put it into your hands. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every single person here tonight would find a place before they lay their head down and go to sleep, where they can offer that trouble up to you and be released from that burden this night in the name of Jesus. I pray for your supernatural peace that passes all understanding to come into each and every one of their hearts. right now. I pray that it would guard our hearts. It would guard our minds. Satan, I bind you. I bind every tormenting spirit that is troubling God's people. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command those voices to be silenced. And I declare that no weapon formed against this body shall prosper. But from this night forward, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that they would experience your undeserved favor and grace in that situation, that you would lay your hand upon it. You begin to move. We invite you in, God. Help us to get out of the way. We thank you. We praise you. We trust you. Not only for peace, but God, I ask for a fresh outpouring of your supernatural joy in our heart that would be their strength. I thank you today in the name of Jesus. I call in provision for those who are lacking and are troubled by what they see and are carrying the responsibility of their families. Father, I call in provision to their life and to their situation right now. For those who are weak, I call in your power into their situation right now. Father, for those who are sick or have a family member sick, I call in your healing in Jesus' name. For those who don't know which way to go, we invite and we ask and we call in your wisdom that will cut through the cloudiness and confusion and give them absolute clarity on a clear path forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for it. Father, for those who are troubled by relationships that are broken, God, we call in your reconciliation in the name of Jesus. We pray for a restoration of peace in marriages, in friendships, in families that have been fractured. Father, we apply the blood of Jesus over every heart and every home. And we thank you that we have stepped into a season of celebration of your coming, the greatest of the year. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would lead us to those who need to hear about you and send them to us. Father, as we go out, we pray that people would come in, that your house would be filled. Father, that names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Lord, for discipleship taking place. Let your love take root in our hearts, God, we pray, and let us grow up into who you want us to be, into who you created us to be. Transform us, God, from glory to glory, from one victory to another, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make us more like Jesus. We love you. We worship you. God, we pray for those people in Tennessee, for your hand of protection upon them. Keep them, God. Keep those rescue workers and EMTs and firemen. God, we thank you now. We bless you and give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said,